think so, unless there's anybody
left. Oh, a new one. Yeah.
And regarding the ADUs, and you know, there's some comment about possibly in the Lugwama restricting from the ADUs, but also, you know, in the Butter Creek, that is a critical groundwater. Ella Butte is just a groundwater area. I think restricting ADUs could discourage some of the multi-generational farming, ranching in that area. And I know there's people in this room that live and work in the Ella and Butter Creek areas, that could restrict having, you know, the next generation being on that land that the family owns and operates. That's the concern I have.
Chair, if I might reply. Yes. Excellent points. The ADUs would apply only to the rural residential zone. So if it's a farm zone and a farm dwelling, whole separate process.
Okay, if you own a plot of land that falls in the Butter Creek,
and you want
to have your son or daughter live on there.
There's a process. It's not easy. I'm not going to pretend that it's easy to cite a dwelling in the ADU zone. It's not at all easy, but I think that's the next legislative directive. Like right now, there's no process in ORS 215 that would allow us to adopt standards that allow ADUs in an exclusive farm use zone. You can, ironically, if you want a hardship dwelling in a farm zone, you can use an RV in an EFU zone, and you're not allowed in the rural residential zone.
We can get an accessory farm dwelling as well, can't we?
And
you
can build the dwelling or set up a manufactured dwelling in an EFU zone, provided you meet this really pretty long list of things that are in the statute and our code. So to your point, this action wouldn't apply to that, but I do really appreciate that you brought that up, because it's a really important point.
Okay, so we're just going to go backwards from where we are, because since we're discussing accessory dwelling units, I would like to know, do we want to accept the language as presented? Do we want to table and have additional language review to put in? What is the commission's...
I'd like to move forward with a language change to exclude the Guama area or any of the critical water area, if that seems maybe appropriate.
I would like to disagree. I feel like if we are regulating the water and testing it, and everybody's aware, this is not a new problem. I know you guys have been around here a while. We all knew there was a nitrate issue 30 years ago, 20 years ago when we bought our properties. I don't think this is the cause of it. Yes, I would love to find a solution just like everybody else, but I also don't think the answer is in limiting accessory dwelling units, especially with the requirements that we have set forth to make sure that we have addressed the issue.
Chair, what I'm trying to do is to bring up, is this the Word version? Yes. I'm trying to bring up the actual language that we're proposing, and then we could wordsmith it. Oh, it's not on here. In Article 6?
It should be 6.050.
Okay, let me go back up.
Is anybody from that end of the county got anything else to say?
The very first.
So, you know, it's all gravel, pretty much. So water goes right in the ground.
Right.
Where we are, basalt. So the top 3 or 4 or 10 feet, the water's going to go down the glass and go down, but it doesn't evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
But
in regards to this.
I live on Washington, right by the river, and we've got 1.5 to 2 to 3 acre lots all around us, and we're the center of 4 homes. And when Mr. Cook was talking about drain fields, all I could think of, where's my drain field? Where's my neighbor's well at? because my drain feels brand new. It's 10 years old. But I'm wondering where my neighbor's well is in comparison to my drain field.
Right.
And where the people behind me are, because my well is here and my drain field goes down. So I know my drain field won't affect my well, but will my
right.
back neighbor's well or drain field affect my well?
How deep's your well? Just like
yeah. 8 feet.
Shallow. You're a little bit, you're shallow.
Yeah. yeah.
And most drain field lines are much more shallow than that, so
yeah, okay.
they'll
mm-hmm.
drop down and.
Right.
Put
so
that
what
direction.
Happens is somebody adds onto their house, adds a bathroom, and has two kids. Is
that's permissible.
Effect, is that any different effect than this?
A right. net effect, probably not. Probably not. Right. Except it has the potential to literally double the capacity
mm-hmm.
of the output.
With what they're doing there. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how many people you can squeeze into a 800 square foot.
I mean, you could, but are they meant for families or are they meant for elder care?
Yeah.
Or?
And we can't regulate those. Nor do we regulate, there is no entity that regulates management of septic systems. You're required to make sure, you're required to obtain a evaluation and a construction permit so it's properly constructed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no entity that makes sure that you maintain it. Just like you buy a car, you maintain your own car until it dies. But if you're smart, you have it serviced once in a while. There is no such requirement for a septic system.
Right.
I don't think they did ADUs. Their intent was not here. Their intent was to increase urban density. My brother does it down there. They take a lot, tear a house down, put four mini houses on one lot with no parking.
But those are hooked up to city service.
Those, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that they did this law, was ADUs. And it started in cities over, what, 15,000 maybe? As population.
It did, back in 2017.
Yeah.
It applied to, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They have city services in Portland, but they don't have city services in Boardman.
Right.
Right.
I don't think when they first started this, it was increased density in urban areas.
Something that's always been lost.
It
you?
Was. And
yeah.
then, you know, the theme of the legislature and the theme of, you know, our Governor Kotek is we're in the middle of a housing crisis. So everything you can do to accommodate new housing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those.
I see. That's
and
where this came
from. That's the genesis of this, for sure. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do a straw poll? Or I don't know how you want to move. I have that language up here. We have that new language. I don't know if somebody wants to make a motion to recommend. I'll just do this. I'll do the strike through language that we. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do font. Minus this language here. Is this the strike through? There's the strike through. Yeah, so we strike that piece there. Now, that's contrary to what Commissioner Killian said, but if it's what everybody else prefers, maybe you want to take a vote on just that piece of this package, because you've got, I don't know that you're going to have unanimous vote on all aspects of this package that you're looking at tonight.
Exactly. So, do we have any more questions on just this portion of it? So, we'll take a vote on who, on agreeing on taking up this. I didn't know if they were discussing something.
So, Landon has a good point. All I did was to remove this other language so that they're just not allowed in a critical groundwater area, Lub Guama. And Landon is asking, does the Planning Commission want to add a standard that requires that they show they have an adequate water supply and room for an addition, room within the existing septic. But they have to use the same one, so they have to go through that permitting process through,
mm-hmm. through the Oregon.
Umatilla County Public Health. Would you want any changes to these standards other than
you
that?
You can take your red line and drop it down to 4 and add it, I think. If that's what I'm getting at. So basically, you want a water test outside of the Lub Guama, is that what you're saying? In a septic?
So actually a water test would be, we could just add it like this, or just add an additional one. So provide a water test to show adequate water supply allowed within existing water right or exempt domestic well. So, you know, an exempt domestic well does not require a water right permit.
We got to make sure that the septic that's on that site can, I mean, even though it's not in that area, it still needs to.
And that's what number five is.
Adequate. Oh, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, that's what number five is. So it's going to be pretty expensive to go back and get reauthorization through the permitting process to hook up another unit to an existing septic system. And P.S., if you haven't maintained your system and you don't know where your drain field is, you'll get to put in a whole new one. It's pretty rigorous. Does that look like what... Yeah. Does that language look okay?
Will you un-strike it out, though?
What do I mean? Oh, yes. Sorry, yes. Okay. I had it strike out there.
Kelly's asking a question.
So a pump test by quantity, a lot of times that's also... is a on a home that has a loan on it, that's a requirement by lenders.
Where's the do we not have pump test? Oh, that's what the water test is. Should we call it a water pump test?
So when you say adequate water supply, are you talking about quality of water or volume of water?
This is just volume.
Okay.
But we could also add, you know, provide a water quality sample to show that there are none of those.
Per the state and federal for tests, is that what we're...
Yeah, so it could be provide a water quality test to demonstrate... the well.
I'm trying to understand why these requirements would not benefit our area as well. Why are we just saying that these requirements are sufficient for South County but not North County for an ABU?
Because we don't have 40 parts per million of nitrates in our water. I think it's the...
Well, not everybody down here has a meter though, sir. I mean, seriously, not everybody has that problem here. So why are we excluding everybody in North County?
So you're going back to number three then. Is what you're saying is before she's crossed it out, that if you can prove you have clean water.
Exactly. I mean, if we don't have an issue, why are we not being allowed to enjoy the same benefits?
That's a good question.
I agree with you on that, but my decision's coming to Mr. Cook there where he's talking about it. And then what Tamara said with the testing, it can change from year to year. And I guess that's my concern is if we had some of these in here, maybe one person doesn't have a problem, but maybe the next person does have a problem a year down the road.
So what if that same thing happens in South County eventually? Are we going to be regulating that?
I suppose if that becomes a concern here, probably.
I mean, I'm trying to understand the logic, though. Like, the next 2 years, they get, in the wintertime, apply 3,000 acre feet of water in the wintertime in the non-growing season from the port, which is 3,000 acre feet is, I don't know, 100, not 100 million, probably 300 or 400 million gallons of water. And yet we're concerned that in a place that has clean water, we don't want one more septic tank. You know, or 10 more septic tanks.
Or not even a new septic tank. It's the same septic tank. It's just one more toilet, maybe.
Trying to wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
How many acre feet is 3,000 acre? How many gallons is 3,000 acre feet?
How many gallons? It's like a factor of three, right?
So I'm pardon? It's three
times three?
300,000 gallons to an acre foot. So 3,000 times 300,000. I'm not quite sure how many hundreds of millions of gallons of water.
A lot.
That's a lot more than a few septic tanks.
So, what's the pleasure of the planning
commission? I think it's the septic tanks being located close to somebody's shallow well.
But it's all the same. lake, right? That they're dumping water in the Columbia River.
What percentage of the water that goes in the septic system evaporates?
Supposed to be most all of it.
Depends what we'll type.
But 80, 90%? 86%, something like that, isn't it?
But the nitrate doesn't.
Yeah, the nitrate has to be exposed to oxygen in order to denitrify. That's the non-scientist's explanation. So do you want to scratch ADUs altogether, or do you want them with language sort of like this, but not within a critical ground? Also, if you read closely, and it definitely lawyer and scholarly lawyer language, Wendy Kellington says that, this is the lawyer for Bob Levy, if we allow accessory dwelling units in a critical groundwater area, which is a significant Goal 5 resource, we have to address that. And I don't have the tools or the technical wherewithal to address that.
I'm sorry. It's 1 billion gallons, by the way.
It's a billion?
It's 977 million gallons.
Well, it's a billion gallons of water.
It's a billion
gallons.
So this is Tamara's translating Wendy Kellington's relative to the Goal 5 piece. So a critical groundwater area is considered a significant Goal 5 resource. A GWAMA, a groundwater management area, is not a Goal 5 resource. It could be a Goal 6 resource, which is our goal that protects air, land, and water quality. I don't know of any planning offices that have really done that, but it might be something our Water Advisory Committee looks into, right? Which was, I think, Wendy Kellington's and JR and Jake's point that why don't you not allow more dwellings, at least second dwellings, in lands that where we know that are within the groundwater management area that's been designated that for the past 30 years. But in the critical groundwater area, Wendy Kellington says those we would need to be able to make findings that an ADU would not impact a Goal 5 resource. That's water quantity. And I don't know how I would write findings that says an additional dwelling unit would not impact. I mean, any development, to your point, any dwelling would impact a Goal 5 resource. So we could split out number 3 and limit so we don't allow ADUs in a critical groundwater area. And a lot of Boardman is not in a critical groundwater area, but all of the Boardman area and Irrigan area outside the city and the city is in the groundwater management area, which is a state designation.
But if it's in the city and it's hooked to sewer system, why are we
not? We're not. I just added that.
Okay.
Yeah. Your action is only outside. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, if you're allowing them in say the SR zones, suburban residential, our next step will be go to each of the cities in the south end of the county that says, do you want to implement this in your suburban residential zone? And I think you heard from the Heppner city manager that any new dwelling is sort of a welcome thing. So,
yeah, if I buy a residential lot in that area that doesn't have a house on it, I'm going to put a house in as well in the septic tank.
Not precluding new development on a vacant lot. That's correct.
I don't know that we're doing any good. I really
so don't. What happens the next time somebody comes to us with a 20-acre lot and wants to put in 10 2-acre lots?
That's the existing standard. That's the existing density. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to ignore the septic tanks that are going to go in.
No, they still have to comply with the construction standards.
No, I get that, but I mean, but the impact that those septic tanks are going to have on the groundwater, we're going to ignore
that. We don't ignore Goal 5, but in a legislative change, you're obligated to address Goal 5. Our zoning, the existing zoning that's out there, presumes some information. So I don't have to write findings, for example, to approve a subdivision in an RR2 zone. I presume that that zoning complies with Goal 5, but it's different when you're making legislative changes that are, for example, in front of you. Okay.
Could I speak, Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
always.
So I appreciate the point you were just making, because we are not, like I said earlier, curtailing any development. We're not curtailing any residential development, industrial, any of that that may or may not be on septic. And I understand the zoning doesn't, zoning change for those things, but it doesn't seem to really, I guess, match up to say that we can do it in one part of the county and not the other. This water issue, I understand totally and completely, believe me, I'm in the middle of it, just like everybody else here. So I don't see it as the big issue with ADUs. I don't see where it's going to, like, create a bigger issue without you showing me that it's actually going to do that. I understand that you're adding another toilet. Because remember, my question at the last workshop was, are we going to limit the number of bathrooms? And that was, the answer was no, because OHA would go through the application and make sure that the septic could handle the accessory dwelling unit. So I still feel like we're on the same side.
Yes.
Chair, if I can make a comment. So another one of the standards for the conditional use is that the proposed lot or parcel must lie outside of the UGB. And a lot of the residential zones in South County are within that UGB. So this would not apply to any of those parcels unless that was
strike within the city, it's within the UGB.
Yeah, we could, and we could, yeah, that's right. We could strike that and then leave it up to the cities to decide if they want us to.
I would love that part.
Do you want me to strike that? We can sure do that. Okay. I'm just, okay, good catch, Lyndon. Okay. So you're probably not going to have a unanimous vote. So do you want to vote on this language on this part of the legislative change? Or make any more changes to this piece? So the language that's in front of you would allow an accessory dwelling unit in residential zones outside of city limits with these standards. Somebody want to make the motion?
What you just said pertains to the Laquama then?
So as it's currently written, if you're in a critical groundwater area or a Laquama, we would not permit them.
Okay. Just want to get that clarified.
Yep. Good. Yeah. No, for sure.
But if you're on the other side of the imaginary line, you can do it.
Commissioner Killian?
She's not going to make the motion.
No, her hand's
up. Oh, sorry. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I never put it down. I'm sorry. I'll lower my hand.
So
I don't even feel right voting on it, to be honest with you guys. If you guys want to make that decision for us, apparently that's what you'll do. But I don't feel right even participating in the vote at this point. I feel like we need to... we need to figure out a way to allow some accessory dwelling units in North County on some level.
I would just offer, it's obviously for the commission to decide. I don't think this means no forever. I think that means the topics related to the Laquama are really hot right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of efforts underway to find long-term solutions to provide clean drinking water. As the county and the state and the federal agencies and private people find other alternative sources, we can come back and change that. Mm-hmm. And I think I also heard you to say that we should allow, and if it's not too late, we might do it here, code changes that allow an ADU for hardship dwellings.
I mean, I'm sympathetic to the concept of let's not make a bad problem worse by contributing to it. Well, this probably does to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. The argument I'm having trouble swallowing is that this is the problem, you know, and we're kind of ignoring all the other problems, and that's the part.
And the latter part isn't in front of you tonight.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very specific, though. I mean, all these other areas, it's okay. If you add under your house, it's okay. It's, but this particular thing, it's not okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's okay to have a septic system for an Amazon, but it's not okay to have one for an ADU.
Well,
I mean, not that I have anything against that, I'm just, it's a point. You know, it's like, at what point, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I said the DEQ just said they get two more years to apply groundwater in the wintertime when they're, you know, okay.
It's only a billion gallons.
Well, that's not before us, but, you know, it's just, but I'm still fine.
Or we could say none, we could say no ADUs altogether. And you could recommend to the board not allow ADUs in the residential zone. That's an option as well. But what we heard during the work session is you do want us to think about it.
Yeah.
I believe ADUs are an important or a necessity for Morrow County, and I believe they're a necessity for the entire county. And I really think we'll be missing the mark if we do not figure out a solution for the entire county to have ADUs.
Well, like I said, I am, I don't know other people, I am understand that we don't want to contribute to the Guama more than it already is. But.
And what I'm hearing from you is that if you can say what you said again, it's already under the goal five. You can't do it in a Guama or a critical groundwater area already. That's already our code.
Well, I think in a critical, I think we'd have to pull this from the agenda entirely if we allow them in the critical groundwater area, because I'd have to write some findings to address how it impacts or does not impact goal five resources.
And that's from the state.
It's our own goal five. What Wendy Kellington did not raise is how it affects goal six, but that's really the discussion we're talking about, is how does it affect overall water quality?
Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
If this is such a big goal five issue, why isn't any other development a goal five issue? Like anything, like any other residential, industrial, or development period? A goal five issue.
Because what's in front of you tonight is a legislative action, not a quasi-judicial hearing. Dan, do you want to respond to that? Mine was the brief summary of it, so.
The goal five?
Yes.
Issue? I think the reason why Wendy pushed the button on goal five is it has a very protracted process to evaluate the environmental, economic, social, and energy consequences of preserving or not preserving these designated Goal 5 resources. And so when you go and kind of rejigger your landscape that affects these inventory Goal 5 resources through a legislative action like this, then it implicates this huge process that Goal 5 has. I'm not sure why she didn't raise the same issue with Goal 6, but Goal 6 doesn't have this kind of complicated inventory and ESEE analysis associated with it, so it wasn't that big a deal. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see it, that the process only attends to if you're going to impact these Goal 5 resources through a legislative action such as this.
So, the only piece I was looking for is if, for example, we didn't address Goal 5 the way Wendy Kellington has asked us, in other words, we did not go through the ESEE analysis, that portion of this code amendment would be pretty vulnerable on appeal.
Yes, it could be. It could be.
Okay.
I have not seen her letter, so I haven't really analyzed the statutory rule references that she makes, but yeah, that component of this legislative package could be subject to an appeal.
Okay.
Can I ask just another question that may show my complete ignorance, but I still have it. I'm willing to risk it.
Yes.
So will this code 5 come up again when other applications come forward, or is it just for this change in legislative action?
Will what come up again? Goal 5? Goal 5?
Yes.
So when a legislative action is in front of you, All of the statewide planning goals are up for consideration. When it's a quasi-judicial decision, the approval process are based on clear and objective standards. And those clear and objective standards were written at some point in time, in theory anyway, to address all of the statewide planning goals. So they would not indirectly be applied. That means that if you're a property owner, you have certain rights vested in you based on the zoning that's in place. And if a county or city wants to change the zoning that affects your property value or your property rights, they also have to address statewide planning goals.
Got it. Thank you so much.
One building per lot, though, and that's it? This would allow one additional?
This language would be an accessory dwelling unit is only allowed as an accessory to an existing dwelling.
Right.
How many?
Only one.
A single one. That was your question. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. One.
Only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not three.
Yes, okay. Correct. Although we do have one of our residential zone that allows duplexes. Is it our FR2 zone? I can't remember exactly, but one of them allows duplexes. So you could have a larger septic system.
Is there a rural residential zone in South County?
No.
Yeah, so we can't even put them here anyway.
But that's why we have a suburban residential.
No, we don't have any rural residential here. Right.
You have suburban residential inside urban growth boundaries.
So what's up like above the golf course?
Details.
What are those?
That's outside.
Yeah, we know that.
Is that rural residential, or those? Is that an EFU area?
They're like 5-acre lots. I don't know what those are, but
I have to look. Stephen, are you awake? Do you know what the zoning? Do you know what the zoning is?
I can. If you stop sharing for a second, I can throw the interaction map up.
Okay, thank you.
Stop that sharing. Might be the only ones that we would have.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know some of those are non-farm dwellings.
Well, you know where I'm
I know, from. Exactly, yeah, by Miller.
That's Miller's.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're all non-farm dwellings.
Yeah, those wouldn't be farm.
So the non-farm dwellings that we've established?
Those are an EFU zone. This wouldn't apply to those. But you could apply for a hardship. Are all of those
suburban residential?
City?
No, up Decox Road.
Right there.
These are all EFU.
Okay. I thought so.
Seriously.
Those are all non-farm dwellings.
So it's a moot point in South County, then,
No, it isn't moot point. If you, because we struck the language that said it could not be in an urban growth boundary, so it could be in an urban growth boundary. Mm-hmm.
So then this wouldn't apply to any of those, then?
Correct. But you see that yellow area there outside of?
Yeah, it's about a 50% slope.
Suburban, yeah. I know, those are details. So, what's the pleasure of the Planning Commission? Do you want to table the whole ADU discussion? Do you want to make a recommendation for the board?
Maybe table it.
That means we won't allow ADUs. I mean, maybe we're not ready for ADUs at all. We can.
If we table it, we won't allow it. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
We don't change any of the zoning that's currently in.
So in a year, if we decide that this is a good idea, can we?
Well, yeah, we'll bring it back to you.
Mm-hmm. May I speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Being new to the commission, I thought I had to ask permission.
You do, but Brian gives it.
Yeah.
being new to the commission and new to the whole water issue, because I'm not from Eastern Oregon, they're working on the issue, right? The state, local government, local entities are working on righting some of this water problem, right?
Yeah.
So if we tabled this for a later date, maybe there will be some resolution to our water issue.
Hope so. It's not going to move fast.
I mean, is the condition of the Guama going to change a lot in the next 5 years?
No, but for example, to your point, Commissioner Cooley, this EPA grant will be looking at the feasibility to provide public drinking water systems to properties outside city limits.
Say that again, Tamara, I'm sorry.
The bi-county EPA grant, yes, will be looking at least some preliminary feasibility to provide public drinking water systems. That could be extension of a city system. It could be the creation of a whole new public water system.
It's like what they
That's not going to happen fast.
30 years ago, but yeah.
Maybe so, huh? Right? Yeah. Or a density should have been higher so you don't have lots of density. Like, we have a lot of neighborhoods with 1 acre lots, and that's pretty dense to have a well and a septic with 75 in an area.
I mean, septic is one thing, but combined with a well, it's another thing.
And we have both. Yeah,
combined with a well is 25.
I mean, you're not doing the groundwater any favors, but you're drinking the groundwater. Yeah. That's different. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm taking for right now, we're going to table this until we have further information on water.
Do you want to vote on that one piece? Like, somebody could make a motion to table all of the ADU amendments until for a later date, and then you could vote on it.
I'll make a motion that we table all the ADU
amendments.
Information until a later date.
Do I have a second? It has been moved and seconded that we table all ADUs at this time. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
So we have that on the record. Motion passes with one. Okay, next is, retirement standard for solar facilities. Do we have any questions on it? I think it's pretty straightforward. That one. Unless people have questions for it, we don't have any public. We don't have any public comment on it.
No, and I think you could vote on the slate of things after we get through the data center.
Okay. So now we have a couple to see if we want to change the usage. But first, if we want to table and allow to have more comment and. Or if we want to vote on outright use or the conditional use section.
Yeah, I think that's right. So the two options, again, are to add language that would make it an outright use with standards, which would be that administrative process, or to make it a conditional use that would be subject to site development and general standards. And staff's recommendation is the former, so it's an outright use with standards, and that's what we've worked with AWS to promulgate in front of you. So if somebody wanted to, if you agreed with the staff's recommendation is to make it an outright use with standards as presented, you could make that motion. So data centers would be an outright use with standards as presented by staff.
I would make a motion that we go with the staff's recommendation for outright use with standards.
Can I second?
Second.
The motion's been made and seconded to go with this standard. The outright use with standards as presented by staff. Everyone in favor? Aye.
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 And
aye.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
And so then, given those things, I think you could do, Dan, tell me if this works for you. You would be making a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners that you would be supporting the legislative changes as presented, except you will strike all reference to ADU changes and strike any reference that would make a data center a conditional use.
Right. That's what I heard the commission say.
It's your last meeting. You've got to make it happen.
That motion.
Motion made per one second. Motion's made. Second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
That's why we hired these smart young people. Okay, so on page, I mean, the one piece in the applicant had to do with section, Article 9, which is administrative review.
Page 92.
Thank you. On page 92 of your packet, what is in your packet, it says, with the applicant's consent, the director may refer any application to the Planning Commission. So does that work for you? Because we had earlier talked about the existing language says within the planning director's sole discretion or at the applicant's request. So
I don't know that the applicant needs to have that. If it's something that you feel that it is should come to the commission, I think that the director, whoever's in that seat, has that right to do that. Anybody else
want to
agree with that? I think there's a question, too, on
there,
on the chat.
Oh, what's the question?
Didn't you rewrite this based on...
Are you talking about
K
on 92?
K, yes. So is your choice to keep the existing language or to say with applicant's consent, the director may refer any application to the Planning Commission?
Well, I like that you want to refer it to the Planning Commission if you feel like that's the need.
Why do we have to have an applicant's consent?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you think we need to review it, then...
Okay. So that would... I think it would make sense to vote on that piece.
Okay. I have a motion. I'm going to...
So we can strike the applicant's consent as part of that?
Yeah. So you would retain the language so it would read...
Everything in black?
The first sentence.
Everything in black, that's right. The director may refer any application to the Planning Commission. So just strike all the words in blue.
Okay, do I have a motion?
And if we get a different planning director and we decide to add that back in, can we do that? I mean, if we decide we want to, I don't.
Yeah, so right now it just says the director may refer any application to the Planning Commission. And so I think your motion could be that leave number K the way it's currently written and make no changes to it. So it would read, the director may refer any application to the Planning Commission.
I'll make a motion to leave K on page 92 as is.
Brian made a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Brian, anything else? It's been first and seconded. The motion's been made and seconded. Everyone in agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Okay, that was a lot of
work.
Sorry,
I was reading and talking at the same time.
That was a lot of work, thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for everybody who participated. I think we have a better product, a better process. So we will have a clean red line and a clean version that we present to the Board of Commissioners on January 17th. If anybody wants to call myself or Landon between now and then and suss out the details, happy to do that too. But what we will present to Planning Commission is what the Planning Commission voted on today. And if the port or others say, hey, we know what they voted on, could we just tweak a little bit here and there? Let's talk about that, because it ain't over till the board votes on it. Although they do give a significant deference to the Planning Commission. So thank you for coming. Safe drive home. Okay.
Are we good? I'm going to have a couple of them.
There are a few additional items in the packet. Chair Ekstrom just included some information about the Morrill County Water Coordinator. We included some slides that the consultant, mostly the consultant, a little tiny bit of me, presented to the Board of Commissioners, which is an overview of the work that they're doing. Stephen just today made some changes to our website so that the four briefing papers that the Water Advisory Committee approved with lots and lots of editing and iterations and the board approved, those are on our website. It's a really good read to take a look at those. There's a briefing paper on water quality. There's one on water quantity. There's one on the drinking water nitrate issue, and there's also one on projects, water different projects that are happening. So like J.R. Cook's organization has done a lot of recharge projects. So we included that. Didn't have a monthly update this month. And then we included a copy of a letter about another large solar project that's coming in our county, just for information. Okay. On our county website, we have one of the drop-down tabs on the left-hand side, Stephen's created a piece where it's called Energy, and it has a spreadsheet that we update regularly whenever we get new information or new applications. And it's a nice table that looks at all the energy projects in the county. It's really hard to read here, but if people say, how many do we have, or where are they located, or how many have been permitted and built, that's what this spreadsheet shows. Actually, when I first came back 3 years ago, it was pretty daunting having walked into that, and there were a number of them in various stages, so we developed this spreadsheet, which we thought was useful enough for other people to look at as well. And we get a lot of calls from people who are shopping around to maybe buy a project. And we say, take a look, tell us which one you're talking about, and then we can look it up. So it's useful. And if you can spare maybe 5 minutes, Stephen has this super cool storyboard that he made about the Army Depot. So with a purpose in mind also to share for our own internal use and external communication with people who are interested in what's happening at the Army Depot.
That would be very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So, Stephen will just do a quick overview, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's a real quick overview. I'm by no means an expert on the utility chemical depot or the story behind it, but I just put some stuff together. It's a story map that just highlights some of the history and kind of what's been going on there with the transfer. So there's a little introduction. You just scroll down, there's a history timeline here from the 40s, you know, its inception in 1941, the explosion in 1944 that killed, I think it was like six civilian workers died. 1962 when it first started storing the chemical weapons there, and then into the disposal era. And you just keep scrolling down, and it gives you some information. Scroll down a little further and you get into the resources tab. This is the kind of the meat and potatoes of the whole thing. There's agency links here. So you can click on this. It'll take you to the Columbia Development Authority. We got our own.
You slow down on that last slide or back up on that one.
Say again?
Can you make that so I can see that whole map? You have it covered up with your...
This map?
Yeah.
So I'll get to that here in a second.
Okay,
so this is a background map.
Gotcha.
You go down, you get down to the files. Here's that CBA zoning map. You can click on it. And these are available for download. So you click on the download button here, and any of these files here are available for download. There's the CBA surveys that I've got on here. And you don't need Google Gmail to get to these files. You can just go through the link, and they're downloadable here.
Show them that little tiny piece up in the northwest corner, Stephen. Please. This is, if you want to be on planning commissioner, if you really want to be a planner, this is cool stuff. So see that tiny piece over there that's referred to as Track 2? All of these lands have been transferred either to the Oregon Military Department or the Columbia Development Authority, except for that little tiny piece up in the northwest corner. And that still has some remediation, so some contamination in the U.S. Army is still working on cleaning that up. And once it's cleaned up, then that little piece will be transferred. I don't know. It's kind of a tidbit. I don't think anybody knows about it.
No.
You know about that.
I thought it was all cleaned up.
Yeah, that piece. The yeller.
That's not a Superfund site. Right,
it's
there?
Not a Superfund site.
So just continuing down, different files. There's the FOST final finding of suitability to transfer Superfund REIT. It's like 135 pages of government stuff.
Did you read it all, Stephen?
It's a redevelopment plan. Morrill County, here's the limited use overlay zone. These are the sections of the code that are applicable to the depot. Redevelopment plan. Lots of files, lots of stuff for you to go through.
Is this all on the county site?
Yeah, he just
added
this.
Yeah, it's on the county website, yep. I'll show you how to get there in a second here, Brian. Or
we get a fair number of questions, and there's all these background documents, and rather than us going through them, if somebody's really serious about the development, there they are. They can do their own research, yeah.
Yeah, and this is there's a delay between what I'm seeing on my screen and what you're seeing on your screen. Here's the this is the interactive map for the tracts. I still got a little bit of more work to do on this to iron out some of the pop-ups when you click on them. So when you click on one of these tracts right now, it just gives you the which tract it is, and then that the CDA survey sheets that we just looked at, it tells you which survey sheet to go to get more information on it. And this one right here is the interactive zoning. So brown is military, green is your exclusive farm use, and then all the stuff on the Umatilla County side. So
the lion's share of it's wildlife refuge and military training.
Yeah, there's 1,000 or so acres on that blue on the Umatilla County side, and the purple over on the Morrill County side.
What's Port?
Mm-hmm. It's called
a little bit of farming up in the green.
And that 640 acres is in the exclusive farm use zone.
Mm-hmm. Where's that?
See, up on the very top there.
I got you.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is that north?
Yeah.
So there's only about 1,000 acres in each Umatilla and Morrill County that's industrial?
And about half of that on the Morrill County side has this very restricted, limited use overlay zone.
What's that mean?
That's this orange right here.
Stephen included a link to that zone. I think back in the day, that was an overlay zone that was intended to, it really prohibits any ground disturbance other than inside the igloo or in existing roads. I think the idea, that's not a whole lot of documentation of why it was zoned that way with the overlay zone. I remember listening into some discussions with the
Some of this is old zoning?
Oh, that zoning has been in place since 2014. Both the counties.
Only 500 acres of industrial in Morrill County? Uh-huh. That's not what I thought it was.
Did you? It's actually 1,000, but half of it has this limited use overlay zone, which theoretically could be changed. I think it was, but you'd still have to go back and address the original redevelopment plan.
Three data center campuses or something, that's about it. Whatever.
Could be. And that's all under management of the Columbia Development Authority, which includes the 5 members, includes the 2 counties, the 2 ports, and the tribe. And of that land, the wildlife habitat area, there's 4,000 acres within that. That's being transferred to the Confederated Tribes. I don't know if it will go directly to the CTUR or the Bureau of Indian Affairs, but something along those lines.
Commissioner Thompson, to answer your question how to get there, you get to the main website, go to the planning page. Then you come down here on the left-hand side, the GIS mapping and dashboards. You go to interactive maps. I'm going to end up probably putting another link somewhere a little bit more...
So it's easier to find. Yeah.
A little bit easier to find, yeah. But you go to interactive maps, and then it's right here, Morrill County story map. Move it to the Chemical Military Depot. You just click on it, and it'll bring you right to it.
Do you facilitate that whole website, Stephen?
It's a content management system, so within the constraints of that system, yeah. Myself and Michaela. Michaela does a lot of work on it as well.
So did you have permission to take that photo?
It's
on the front page.
What do you call that? Free use.
It's public domain.
Public domain photo, yeah. I like this one right here. It's they're spray painting the howitzer shells. Anyway, that's all I got.
Isn't that cool? Any feedback other than make it more direct? Is that what you said?
That's cool.
Yeah, easier to find. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we have.
Okay. And I'd like to, I missed talking to Wayne earlier. Thank you. I can't remember how many years, so I can't say that part of it. So, 7 years.
Seven.
And we do.
He snuck out, by the way.
Oh, we have the cake and a card from us. And then also we'll have a certificate signed by the board. But that'll happen not tonight.
And a brand new car.
Wow.
Let's strike that from the record. All right.
Thank you, Wayne, very much.
Thank you, staff. It's been a pleasure working with you guys and getting to know you.
Everybody here?
Yes.
And yes. John is giving them a car.
Apparently,
over on the table.
I got some cars. Okay.
Commissioners, over on the table, there's a yellow sheet, and it has all the dates of our next year's planning commission dates.
And you're welcome to take one, Wayne.
I will look it up on this fabulous website.
I know. Did everybody sign the mileage sheet?
Yeah, I think that's over there.
Okay. Well, good luck in retirement.
This is what happens when I don't know their name. So like on the minutes, I would like our discussions we have.
And Wayne, you get to take the cake.
I don't think that's necessary to have in there. That will cut half your shit out.
I appreciate it.
Because it really makes it. Yeah, I just really feel like the making the motions and that part of it, that's the important part to have.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, it's already done. And it's not recording.
No,
it's not. It's hard when you have part of the port issue is
it's really delicious.
Some comments made where they were open-ended. But, and it just makes it easy. I was just like, when I'm reading through, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad for it. Because you had to listen to it 90 times to get.
And, yes.
But that's just how I feel. And if, when we get on the next time someone is like, yeah, I guess they can have the gavel.
All right.
Just my personal opinion. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
It makes Michaela's life easier.
And it just, you have more important things to do than go
there.
Yeah,
we were on the south end.
Yeah, and that's just, one of our boards just have really long ones, but then we had certain subjects that we talked about every, but it wasn't anything, we didn't vote on anything, it was just topics. I'm on utility, so we talked about power. So it used to be so long, and now we've switched up to. These are the topics we talked about. There wasn't anything we voted on. There wasn't anything.
Okay,
that
so
part.
I'm going to ask this part.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind taking a peek at the Board of Commissioners minutes.
Okay.
And so I can kind of go.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll
and then let me know and say, sure, exactly what I'm looking
perfect.
For.
Yeah,
or something so that I have something to vote
on. Yeah, no, I just think you're doing too much work.
Because I'm really new at this stuff.
I know, no, I was just, but I was like, Tiana, she's doing way too much work, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just try to make it.
Nice. I'm just laughing because all the wells I deal with out here, my farmers are 800 feet, 900 feet. I have shallow wells for the area. Mine's like 160, but I'm down.
Like in most areas, that's like a decently deep well.
Yeah. Our last house, my husband had to pull the well. The,